setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you have joined a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. And I'm Ken, your coach, your counselor, and cheerleader. You were made to work. You were made to contribute. You have a unique role in and through your work that someone in this world needs. And it's not about how many someones, by the way. It could be just one, two, 10, 20, 25. It doesn't matter. This is not about success or status or money. It's about significance. And when you are doing the thing that you were created to do, significance in your work is what you're experiencing because you're good at it, because you love the work itself, and the work creates a result that matters deeply to you. That is when we feel tremendous significance and make that significant contribution that the Creator created us to make. That's going to help in your personal life as well. So that's why we talk about, what were you created to do? It's the answer to the age-old question, what should I do with my life? 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. It is a caller-driven show. That means you get direct access, 844-747-2577. Now, before we get to the phones, one of the things we always love to do is open up with some content that'll help you grow personally. And so I'm going to do something that we don't do this all the time, but my producer is Madison Browder. Now, not only is Madison a fabulous young female millennial leader, she also is by nature what we would call shy. But the reason I want to have her jump in here is because I am not shy. And I also don't think that anybody who is shy should have shame. So I want to be very clear on the outset here. This is a really good topic, and I'm going to draw from an article from Forbes that was written by Svetlana Whitner, who is a emotional intelligence executive coach. So this is someone who's got some real credibility. And so she wrote this article, 8 Tips to Help You Step Out from the Shadow of Shyness. And I love that. Svetlana and I love alliteration, apparently. I know I do. The shadow of shyness. And I would say the shame of shyness. If you're ashamed because you're shy, because you're not like bouncing off the walls like the Ken Colemans of the world, don't have any shame in that. The world can only handle so many of me's. Let's be honest, it can only handle one. And Madison is a shy person. I'll never forget the first time we interviewed her, Joe. I was like, this gal, she's quiet, she's shy. But she shined. And she has shined. And I rely on her tremendously. So I can tell you, you can be a big time producer of a nationally syndicated radio show host and be shy. So I've prepared her for this. She's going to jump in. I'm going to roll through these things. So here are the 8 tips from the writer here. And we'll go through these very quickly. Number one, acknowledge your shyness. You know, so the idea here is that, look, just recognize that this is who you are. So this is the idea here of no shame. Recognize that you're shy. 2, she says, set realistic goals. So instead of, you know, putting yourself in a situation where you might fail by scheduling a speech in front of a large crowded auditorium, start with just intentionally connecting with more than one or two people, maybe in some small groups that you don't currently socialize with, and kind of step into that and just watch yourself not die, right? Kind of ease into that. 3, believe that you can do it, that you can overcome shyness. All right, now, Madison, I'm going to pull you in on number 4 because I thought this was a great, great, great piece of advice. Focus outwardly. So the idea here is that instead of focusing on how maybe you're sweating or your palms are sweating, your knees are knocking, or you're stumbling over the conversation, or all the things that you criticize about yourself, about your shyness, or as a result of your shyness, don't focus on yourself. get over yourself, focus on the other person by intently listening to them and asking them questions about what they're telling you and making it all about them. Two things that happened there, Madison. I thought this was great advice. Number one, you actually stop thinking about yourself if you think about them and you ask a question. It takes the pressure off of yourself. And two, you actually are going to come across as a really, really amazing human being that's really interested in other people, and thus they're going to like you and make it easier on you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that most people are shy because they are nervous / embarrassed of how they're going to come across.
Yeah.
And the only way that you're going to come across poorly is if you are freaking out inwardly and making amping yourself up. And then the next thing you know, you are coming across weird.
Yeah.
And awkward. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
focusing on the fact that everyone else is also probably has a little bit of nerves, the fact that they're in a new social setting or they're giving a presentation or whatever.
Yeah.
And then once you can realize that they're all in the same boat, it's a little bit easier to be like, oh, okay, and breathe a little bit.
Exactly. And I like the point you're making about breathe a little bit, because what happens is if you keep putting the ball back in the other person's court and make it about them, first of all, they're not going to hate that, unless, of course, they're shy too. But then it's going to be, you know, a real conversation. Before you know it, you're going, hey, I'm not dying a painful death here socially. And you keep taking the focus off of you. It's really good. Okay. Practice active listening. So be present, actively listen. This really goes really with tip number four in focusing on the other person, but active listening where you are engaged and now you don't have to think about what to say because you're actively listening. You took something somebody said and you react to it or put it back to them. Number six, know what you want from any interaction. What do you want to accomplish? Is it to inform, convince, just get some information, or just hang out and chill? So everything is not a performance. I thought that was good. Prepare for interactions. Now, I thought this was interesting. Madison, I'm going to come back to you because you said something to me earlier before the show. We were talking about this. You said that you are a shy extrovert. So when you hear this advice to prepare for important interactions, does that help you become that shy extrovert?
Yeah, because once I warm up to you, I can go, go, go. It's just the matter of I don't really know you. I don't really know how I'm being perceived. You don't know me, my sense of humor. So preparing with maybe it's a couple of questions or a couple of things that you want to say or kind of not necessarily doing homework, but kind of like knowing a little bit about who it is you're about to talk to. That way you can kind of have a jumping off point, because once you get the ball rolling, usually that's the hardest part, is getting the conversation going.
I feel like, Joe, I remember our interview with Madison like yesterday. It was you and me and Blake Thompson, our chief production officer here at Ramsey Solutions. She had already made it through how many rounds?
Like four or five.
Yeah. But this is the first time I meet you, and you're interviewing a position where you're going to be, at the time, associate producer. And so you're going, here comes Ken, and here comes Joe. And so that's a whole different audience. But I felt like you were prepared for that. Don't you think, Joe? We walked away going, she didn't flinch on anything we asked her.
Oh, yeah. She never wavered.
Yeah. So you were prepared, and thus in a pressure-filled situation where you're shy. But I remember your face being red.
Oh, yeah.
But that's,
I got the
pressure.
Major beat red.
But again, that's normal. Like, that's not abnormal. And we didn't judge that at all. We were just like, she was feeling the pressure of the interview, but she crushed it. So good stuff there. Here's the eighth and final one. Adopt confident body language. And folks, by the way, you could be a mess inside, but sit confidently and tell your face to act confidently, and you'll be surprised what it does to your mind and your heart. This is the Ken Coleman Show. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose, this is the Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577, bringing purpose to talk radio. Life is way too short for you to be stuck in a dead-end job or a job that you just, it's okay. Good benefits, good pay, I'm not challenged. It's definitely too short to be in a toxic work environment. It's definitely too short to be overwhelmed. It's definitely too short to be bored. It's definitely too short to be undervalued. Let's get you in your sweet spot, doing work that you're really good at, that you love, that produces results that matters deeply to you. 844-747-2577 is the number. Woodland Park, Colorado is where Eric is. Eric, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, love your show.
Thank you, Eric. How can I help?
So the quick backstory is I've been a self-employed contractor for about 15-plus-ish years, and that's been a very good career and lucrative. But my body's been slowly breaking down over the years.
Uh-huh.
Just because of the physicality of the work.
What kind of work is it?
I'm a flooring contractor.
Okay, gotcha.
I really do like the work. It's just physically, it wears you down.
Yeah.
So ever since I started this job, I've been trying to get out of it. The dream job started when I was about 16. It started with Rockstar, and that didn't happen.
Right.
I gave that to my mid-20s on that one. But about that time, I also I was playing at churches and stuff, and you know, at some point, I can't remember what point it was, but I kind of looked at the worship leader and was like, you know, I could do that, you know, and that makes sense to me. So, that's kind of been on my heart for, you know, it's been a while, 20 plus years, I would have to say.
So why aren't you doing it?
It's kind of a tough gig to get. Number one, a lot of people want that gig. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people willing to do it for next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was building my other career at the time. And again, like I said, you know, I built it into a pretty good business.
So you own your own business. You're basically a sub, but it's your business, but you're a sub for builders.
Correct.
Yeah, and you do all Correct. Types of flooring?
Yep. Yep, hardwood, carpet, tile.
Mm-hmm. What kind of money do you pay yourself? I know you own the business, but what do you pay yourself?
Well, I'm pretty much a sole proprietor. I don't even hardly have any employees. I have very low overhead. And I'm close to six figures a year.
Okay. And why have you, because I know in our area, in fact, we got a really good flooring guy. We just finished a room over our garage. And he does a lot of the work himself, but he also has two young men that do the work as well because he's got a lot of jobs going. Why have you never done that?
I have done a little bit of hiring outside, but the problem is good help is hard to come by.
That's a total cop-out.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
I don't think.
Well, I know I don't you don't. Think it is, I know, but I'm going to agree. But we need to agree to disagree for a moment. Because
okay.
I've talked to so many people like you, and I know you think you're right, and you do know your industry better than me. And I know this is weird. I've never really disagreed with somebody like I'm about to disagree with you. But you said it wrong.
Okay.
So that's why I'm right. Now let me prove it.
Okay.
What you said is good help is hard to find. That's the wrong narrative. It should be good help must be developed. I've got to go find somebody and turn them into good help. But people like you walk around going, well, I just got to find somebody who's got the basic talent or enough talent and then cares about it as much as I do. Wrong. What you got to do is go find somebody who loves working with their hands like you do. You said at the very start of this phone call, Ken, I really, really enjoy the work. It was just breaking my body down because I'm on my knees and my back's killing me and all that from years and years and years of doing all that hardwood, laying it and bending your body and being on your knees and all that. It's tough work. True or false?
Very true.
Okay. What do you love? I want you to describe for 20 seconds what you love about the work, what you've enjoyed about it. Forget the hard work hurting your body. What do you like about it?
I actually like the hard work.
Okay, don't overthink this. Tell me what you like about it. Just tell me what you like about it. Don't overthink it.
I like the hard work.
I know, but be specific. What do you like about it? When you go in and lay hardwood down, what do you enjoy about it?
I guess I enjoy organizing the job.
Sure you do. You also like puzzles, don't you, and solving puzzles.
Yes.
That's what a hardwood floor is, in my opinion. It's a puzzle. You like organizing all the things, working with the client, getting all the things ordered. Then you like going in there and you like putting it together, making it look good and finishing. You love a finished product, but you like working with your hands and your head to fix, solve problems, solve puzzles, make people happy with a beautiful floor. True or false?
True.
Okay. How many young men in Woodland Park, Colorado couldn't stand high school, don't want to go to college, or tried college and they flunked out, or whatever. And they don't want to be in a classroom. They don't want to wear a collared shirt. They want to be somebody who kind of works for themselves like you. They want to work with their hands. They don't mind hard physical labor, but they don't want to talk to a bunch of people. They want to come work with their hands and solve problems. They're just more good at things and like working with things. How many young men do you think are like that in Woodland Park, Colorado?
Well, first of all, my business is based out of Denver, so it's a bigger pool. But
okay, you're making my point for me. You're making my point for me. How many?
Yeah, but I've tried guys, but this isn't totally the reason for my call, though.
I know, brother, but see, okay, here's the deal. If you want to argue with me, we can argue for the remaining 3 minutes of the segment. I'm not interested in arguing with you. You're pushing back on me on the wrong thing. Here's the reality, dude. The reason I'm trying to help you with this is because you need to stop making excuses for how you've tried to find people and go find young men who are that characteristic that I just described, and they'll want to work for you if you show them that you can teach them a trade, number one. Number two, pay them well and teach them some financial principles well that can set them on course for the rest of their life instead of them just looking at you as a job. But that's the key to you getting into the worship leader role is what I'm trying to tell you. But you were fighting me and debating me, which is cool. That's cool. I'm down. Didn't hurt my feelings.
I'm a fighter.
And so am I. And I'm punching you right back. Now, listen, you got to expand your business so that your body, number one, doesn't break down. But number two, so that you can make more money in the same business, but you're not doing all the manual labor, but you're actually making more money by overseeing and training somebody. And then you can go start playing in worship bands in one church and then get on one gig, get in a rotation every fifth Sunday. I don't care, whatever it is. And you keep playing some more. And then you go volunteer at another church and maybe they start paying you per gig. And now we're not making enough to live on. But now we've gone from volunteer to now I'm getting paid to be a part of a worship band. I may not be the soul leader, but I lead on a couple of songs. And then I keep making connections and more connections because I'm using the proximity principle by doing what I want to do and being around people that are doing it. And all while I'm doing that, I'm making more money than I've ever made, but less physical body deteriorating labor. And so I'm stacking money and making more money for the purpose of supplementing what may be my first worship pastor gig where I'm making 50% of what I made running my business. But now I've got cash and I can adjust. I'm trying to tell you that the secret to you becoming a worship leader is you replacing yourself and growing your business with a couple of guys, just a couple that can do more of the work. That's your answer, brother. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. Coming up next segment, we will get to some funny work fails. These are stories from the internet, some from our listening audience as well. If you've got a funny work story whether it was embarrassing for you or a coworker and you want to share it, we can change the names and all the good details if you wish. Ask at kencoleman.com, put in funny work fails. We'll get to that on the next segment. We always have fun with that. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. I want to say this now. I'm going to tease this. Next week, I'm going to share some very exciting news. I'm not going to share all of it, but I'm going to share enough that I think a lot of you are going to want to say, yes, please raise your hand and we'll give you that opportunity to do so. So I was going to tease that. That's coming up next week. We'll talk more about that. But now let's get back to the phones. Denver, Colorado is where Alicia joins us. Alicia, you are on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. So currently, I have, on a whim, I have decided to apply for a new position, and I got the job.
Ho!
It is the same exact job as I do now, just at a different location.
Okay.
And I'm feeling very apprehensive about it.
Yeah, I can tell.
A lot of anxiety in my chest, and I can't exactly figure out what's causing the anxiety. I don't know if it's loyalty to the place that I work at now, or if it's, I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I think you know what? I think you're saying it wrong, but I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So I actually called you a year ago, afraid of burnout.
Yeah.
And you told me that there's no such thing as burnout and that maybe there's a management issue, and we kind of narrowed that down.
Yeah.
And here we are a year later and now I've pulled the trigger and I applied somewhere else.
Why'd you pull the trigger?
I was frustrated at work. Some events had happened in the work day, and when I got in the car and I was driving to an appointment, I just made the phone call, and very quickly, I mean, from the time I made the phone call to the time I had the offer letter was a matter of 12 hours.
You realize how crazy that is, right? That's crazy amazing. Okay, so here's the deal.
Right?
You're doing the same position that you're doing now.
Yes.
They're thrilled to have you, obviously.
Yes.
They snapped you up in 12 hours.
Yes.
Come on, Elisa. That's huge. By the way, you do know why you have anxiety, and you're overthinking it instead of just doing what you started to do. You know what the first thing you said is, well, I don't know why I have so much anxiety. Maybe it's because of feeling loyalty, and then you started to tail off. Well, you've been thinking that. You're worried about them thinking that you're a jerk. They were good to you. They gave you an opportunity, and you're a people pleaser on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And you're worried about what they're going to say about you when you leave in front of your face or maybe even behind your back. Is that true or false?
That is true. I do have some other firm thoughts that I've confirmed, right? It's not for more money. The commission structure is the same. It's basically the same salary. The commission structure is the same. So this isn't a money move. It's absolutely a cultural move.
It's the right move. It's the right move.
And
what are you nervous about? Besides what we just said, there's something else because you started to say it and you tailed off.
Well, starting from scratch, right? I mean, I can't take my clients with me. Obviously, that would be unethical and immoral.
Yeah.
I have to start over all from scratch after, 3 years of building a business.
That's
scary
right.
to me.
Sure it is.
But I know that I can overcome that.
Yeah, you can. But you're also nervous about new people, new office. And part of you is going, what if I go over there and their culture sucks?
And I've thought about that, yeah.
I but know. How is it that I know what you're thinking? Am I some sort of clairvoyant genius? No, I'm not.
So.
I'm not. You're a human.
I would like to think that based off of their volume and their success, I mean, they're nationally recognized within the franchises, that they handle the things that I have issues with at my current
Have you talked to anybody that currently works there?
Only one of the vice presidents. The one that hired me.
So I'm saying, is there anybody else that you have connection to through a social media connection or somebody you do life with?
I did speak to someone else that I'm taking her position. She moved on to the corporate office and she said it was an absolute honor to work with them and she learned so much.
Did you ask her about the culture specifically? Say, hey, here's what I was dealing with and what she said.
Yeah, she said that it was a fantastic culture. That everybody understands their job duties and you're not asked to do duties that aren't yours.
Okay, so that's really good. But if that's not enough, I'm not criticizing you. Go get two or three more of those through some relationship on social media, or in your life, if you know anybody personally, or anybody that knows anybody else that works at that company, XYZ, we'll just call it that, just say, hey, I'm about ready to take the position, and I just would like to talk real quick about culture and blah, 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 things that you want to know about. That's readily available.
Yeah.
Go see what their clients say about them online.
And
all that's doing, Elisa, is calming your nerves. But here's the deal. All that being said, do you know that you know that you know it's time for you to move on from that company that you're at right now?
I think so. Yes. And
well,
you know,
you just went from I think so to yes, which is okay.
Well, my 10-year plan, right, is to own one of these franchises.
Oh, good.
And right. And so, and I've made that clear with my current employer and this new one. And I'm not getting any mentorship or training along the way that I was told that I would get at my current position.
Why do you think that's, why do you think that is?
Well, they're just very complacent. They don't want to move anything forward in any aspect of
it. It's time to leave. It's time. It's time. It's time.
Okay.
The time has come.
Okay.
Elisa, stop thinking about it. You are a very, very, very smart lady. You've done your homework. You are valued. You got snatched up within 12 hours in a very competitive employment marketplace right now. You're a rock star. Go in there, believe in yourself, do what you were born to do. Get after that dream that you've been holding on in your heart. Now you're in a place where you get a chance to do it. So, no more thinking. Do it. And don't worry about what they say. You leave classy. Leave the way you would want someone to leave you. And I think that's going to be more than enough. Thank you for the call. I appreciate you. You got this. 844-747-2577. Ryan joins us in Concord, New Hampshire. Ryan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
I have kind of a unique situation, or at least I think it's unique. So going through your steps, I find a job, I'm ready to apply for it. Okay, I've got the resume template. I need somebody from the company that I can put as a connection. And I'm not finding anybody. And then sure enough, lo and behold, my good friend and roommate from college knows somebody who works there.
How about that?
Great.
Super it's
excited,
possible,
right?
Isn't it? Hey, I want everybody to hear what Ryan just said.
She lives a state away, and I'm so excited.
I know,
right?
But I want everybody to hear that because you're so stinking awesome. Because I know sometimes people go, Ken, that's just really too hard, man. I get it,
really
what you're
how
saying.
I was feeling.
I know it's how you were feeling. And you kept going, you kept going, you kept going, and you found somebody. Okay, so what's the question? We got about a minute.
Okay, so the person that she knows in the company is the person that I would be directly reporting to.
Oh. Yeah,
so,
that is a little different.
Cool, exciting, but then how do you use it on the resume for, like, hey, can you put a quote about me to refer me to you?
Yeah, I get that. I'll tell you what we do here. Do you have anybody, okay. Do you know anybody else in that industry that you're going into? Any credible people that are in the industry or do the kind of work that you're going to be doing? Or you hope to do?
Not really, not yet. I mean, well, not that I know of, right? I mean, apparently there are things out there that I'm not aware of yet. So
yes, here's my point.
None that I can think
of. So if you don't have somebody that you have a direct connection to in the company, that obviously this is a unique situation, okay?
Yeah.
But hold on, we're going to come back to that connection because that's an amazing connection. Get the most relevant endorsements you can. So if you can't get anybody from the company, in this case, you can't because it's for the person you're applying to work for. So you want to get the most relevant endorsements possible, people that are connected to that industry. Now, here's the deal. I am so excited that your friend knows, your college roommate knows the person you want to work for. You got to have them send your resume directly to them with a handwritten note or a phone call going, hey, she's my roommate. She's amazing. She's applying. That's what needs to happen. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you are created to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. Coming up in just a few minutes, we got some fun work fails for you on this Friday. But first, let's go to the Chicago, Illinois area where Teresa joins us. Teresa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I'll give you a little background. I've been in the same position for about 8 years. It's in the finance department, and my job's become really just really boring. I can pretty much do it with my eyes shut, but it does offer great work-life balance. And so I started looking for a new job, and I've been interviewing at the same company now, or a new company, for the last 3 weeks. I've met with 5 different people, and they have asked me back one more time to meet with 3 of the people that I've already met with in like a group call. And, but the thing is, the most recent interview I had was with a person that's going to be that's at the level I'm interviewing for. And when she was talking about the work, just giving me a background on things, and she mentioned that, no, it's definitely not a 9-to-5 job, which I kind of expect in finance. But then she kind of went on to mention that she's been working a lot of nights, working weekends because it's so busy. And, you know, hopefully when this person gets hired, it should go back to normal. Now, I didn't ask her what normal was, but so in this next interview where I'm going to be in this group situation, I don't know if it's appropriate or how to, you know, get a feel for this. I mean, it's really important to me. I do not want to be working weekends. I can do it once in a while, but it sounds like it's all the time thing.
It does. I think you could do a clarifying question. Say, hey, in our last meeting, you literally say to him what you just told me. This is what you said. Okay. I just had a couple clarifying questions. Is it possible? And it may not be. So you don't put them on the defensive. You just go, it may not be possible for you to answer this, but do you have an idea how many weekends you're talking about? Are we talking about 1 weekend out of the month? Are we talking about 1 weekend out of every 2 months? Because you know already, you've already got a very clear boundary. You're not going to be working 3 weekends a month. I know that, right?
Right, right.
I mean, what's your limit? One?
Yeah, I guess I should have a limit, shouldn't I?
You should. That helps. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you need to go into this thing. I mean, let's be very clear. It's not looking good. This isn't looking good. Not for you.
You mean with the weekends?
Yeah. If I'm on team,
everything else is great. Though.
I know.
It's like a great fit.
I know.
It's
stinks.
I mean, culturally. And
I know.
It's a new job, new industry.
But here's what's great about this, Teresa. Here's what's great about this. I say it's not looking great. I'm saying it's not looking great as it relates to you. Remember, you're interviewing as much for the job as they are. Like, is this a good place for you?
Right.
Not just, is Teresa good for us? And so you've got to know your boundaries before you go into this, because you got nothing to lose. You're at a job right now where while you're bored and we want to get out of there, you're not miserable and you're not in a toxic situation. So you have nothing to lose. So you could go in and crush this next interview, and I'd almost wait till the end. Like, go in there like it's your job to lose. And then at the end go, hey, listen, quick thing before we leave. This is what you said last time on weekends. I'm at a stage in my life where I'm at professionally where I don't need to do it. It's not something that I'm willing to do. And if it is 1 week in a month, you can say, I'd be open to 1 week in a month, maybe for 6 months or so. But maybe if your answer is, I'm just not going to work weekends, and if that's part of this deal, I totally understand. I have to take myself out of the running. Do you see how much power is in that? Because they may go, well, that stinks, but we understand. Or that's disappointing.
Right.
Please leave and be stupid about it. I doubt that. Or they might just go, wow, Teresa's got walkaway power. Teresa just put her number. It'd be like negotiating with a car dealer. You went, this is my number. That's all I'm paying and I'm walking. No big deal. No harm.
Okay.
You're not rude. You're not a jerk.
Right,
you guys
aren't
awful people. I'm just telling you where I'm at in my life. I'm not willing to work weekends. And I'm bummed because everything else about this is great. But I got to be honest with you guys. I have to take myself out of the running and it stinks. But I get it. You guys need what you need. Unfortunately, I can't do weekends. And if you walk out of there, they may call you back and go, hey, we want you. We'll figure out something else. You just never know. But here's my point. You have nothing to lose.
Yeah. True.
So I want you
and
to
I think
know
it's
your...
Such, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and it's important enough for me that it's
You know, I definitely don't want to get into the position potentially and then be like, oh crap, why didn't I deal with this? Yeah. You know,
Teresa, are you a mom by any chance?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
Did you ever have to console a kid when they were broken up with? Maybe a girlfriend, boyfriend, who knows?
Oh gosh, yes.
You ever remember saying, there's other fish in the sea or something along those lines?
Oh yeah. This too will pass. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah, well, take your own advice because this is not the only job that's a great fit for Teresa. If you have to say no, if they say no to you because of your boundary, there's other fish in the sea. Appreciate the call. Teresa, you got this. All right, Joe, let's have some fun on this Friday. We like to call it Funny Work Fails. From the Ken Could Do This file, Beth writes, I set the microwave at work on fire because I forgot to take the foil off of my lunch. I became known as fire starter the rest of the time I worked there. Now, listen, of all the nicknames based on doing something embarrassing, I'm just going to tell you that fire starter isn't so bad, you know?
I'm actually surprised you haven't done this.
I know. Well, I'll tell you, I've almost done it at home, but because Stacy, God bless her, has learned to live with her neck on a swivel, or head on a swivel, rather, I'm sure she's caught me from sticking something in the microwave that I should not have done. I will say this because I don't want to embarrass the family member, but a couple years ago, one of our family members went to warm up the coffee mug and was thinking of something else, put the cell phone in, and microwave the cell phone for a minute instead of the coffee mug, and we only discovered it after ungodly evil things were happening. And that I do not recommend ever putting a cell phone.
No, that's inadvisable.
Wow. All right, next one. Carly says, I got a new job working downtown, and I realized that parking around the office was so expensive, I decided to commute by bus. But I'd never taken the bus before, and I didn't realize that buses made me crazy sick. So on my first day, I barfed all over myself and my briefcase on the bus ride. I spent the first 20 minutes of work in the bathroom trying to get the puke and the smell out of my clothes. Again, I've said this before, I would have gone to the bus driver and I said, we got a major problem. You got to stop the bus. Let me get out for 2 seconds and throw up all over the street before I'm going to throw up on myself in the bus the first day. This is drastic, calls for drastic measures. And the bus driver doesn't want you to puke in the bus. I'm running up to the bus driver going, listen to me. I'm about ready to barf my guts out. You got to pull over.
It's quite the first impression.
It's a terrible,
sure.
Terrible first impression. Jessica writes in, I once applied to a job at a hospital gift shop when I was a teenager, and I was so excited to show up on the first day, and yet the manager gave me the weirdest look when I showed up, and he told me to wait while she called someone. Turns out they had interviewed two girls named Jessica and meant to hire the other Jessica, but accidentally called me instead. I was humiliated. The worst part, they offered me a candy bar for my trouble. A candy bar? Hey, sorry, we called you and told you got the job, but realized it was another Jessica. We feel terrible. Please forgive us. And oh, by the way, here's a Milky Way.
That makes everything better.
Could we not have given her a massage, a day spa appointment, something a little bit more compensatory for the embarrassment? No, here's a Snickers. It turns out it'll satisfy you. Let's see. This is Jerry. I got hired for a corporate job, had my first day, and it seemed to be going well. Then me and the rest of my department got called in for a surprise meeting in which we were all laid off. Oh boy. And then our final one, Jason says, big lesson, don't road rage or flip off other drivers until you know what your new boss drives. Oh, wow. That had to be awkward. There you go. Some funny work fails on this Friday. Hey, my time's almost up. Before I let you go, you matter. You do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.